It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 26th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Do you know this sound? If you work as part of the command system at the Department of Defense that controls America's nuclear forces, you might, because it is a kind of outdated technology used there. What kind?
The floppy disk.
That's right, floppy disks. And the voice of David Powner there, Director of Information Technology Management Issues for the Government Accountability Office. He was testifying in front of Congress this week about much-needed tech updates at the federal government level. The president's 2017 budget, by the way, requests $89 billion for IT. Powner wrote a larger report and is here to talk about it with us. Hi, David. Tell me what you found out about these systems.
Many of them are tied to real mission-critical operations. So IRS is a good example. You know, the systems that process our tax returns, you know, are still being run on some old assembly code. And, you know, to IRS's credit, they're trying to do some things to convert that old code to, you know, modern languages like Java and those types of things. But, you know, there's other systems that we ran across. That there was a system at DOD that coordinates operational functions for nuclear forces.
Yeah, and it's still on floppy disks?
Yeah, now we did find out, you know, some of that is more of it's a backup system a whole bit, but still it's a backup for some pretty important things, and DOD admits that they do need to replace that. You know, a modern flash drive today, you would need about 3 million of those floppy disks to equate to one modern flash drive.
Wow. Is part of this just kind of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Yes, that's clearly part of the mentality. The other thing, too, is some of these initiatives are large data and application conversion efforts. It's not something you're going to do, you know, quickly. But we really need to have some folks take a longer-term view and really tackle these old legacy systems that are out there.
Is part of this also just about basic computer languages that are no longer really in use?
There's a lot of that. And the problem with the old code is, you know, not only do you, I think some agencies have this where they rehire retired federal employees to maintain this code. And then there's others that are paying a premium through contractors because you can't, you know, there's not a lot of folks that currently know these languages.
Right.
So it's very expensive to maintain. But the other thing, the unsupported hardware and software, if you're not updating some of these things from a security perspective, they are vulnerable to attacks.
So basically you're talking about large-scale technology triage.
You got it.
David Powner, he is the Director of Information Technology Management Issues, and there are a few of them for the Government Accountability Office. David, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Ben.
When and if the government phases out its floppy disk drives, I have a suggestion. Give them to those amazing nerds who program them to play music like Daft Punk. Hey, thanks for listening to Marketplace Tech. We give you the context you need to understand the business of technology and how it matters to you. Some context on us. We are a nonprofit service and rely on donations from our listeners to keep going. And we've just made special Let's Do the Numbers Pilsner glasses available to thank you for your support. Donate today at marketplace.org. If I listed these names to you, former pro wrestler Hulk Hogan, tech billionaire Peter Thiel, and digital media troublemaker Gawker, you might expect a punchline. But their connection is no joke. A story in Forbes this week, citing anonymous sources, says that the famous tech entrepreneur who co-founded PayPal is helping to fund Hulk Hogan's legal efforts to punish Gawker for that sex tape it published featuring Hogan. We got Forbes staff writer Matt Drange on the line to explain his story further. Matt, thanks for chatting.
Thanks for having me.
What are the unknowns?
Yeah, so the unknowns at this point, I mean, we know that Peter Thiel is backing the Hogan lawsuits against Gawker. The unknowns at this point are when he became involved financially and exactly how.
And maybe why?
Why is also, I would say, uncertain. I mean, Peter Thiel certainly has a history with Gawker through ValleyWag, which is their now defunct Silicon Valley blog, including a story in which they outed him before he was public with the fact that he was gay. A lot of people have speculated that that might be the primary reason, but we just don't know for sure.
This so-called third-party litigation funding is becoming more common?
It's unclear if that's more common. I mean, most of the cases involving this type of funding, we never hear about. You know, there's nothing illegal about it. A lot of First Amendment experts do think that it has a potential to be more common simply because of the fact that we have more billionaires who can fund their own sorts of projects independently now.
I wanted to ask you more about that. You make this point. There are basically more tech billionaires than ever, and they're thinking about ways to throw their money around to influence or stymie media more than ever?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there are obviously a lot of billionaires in Silicon Valley that simply didn't exist 10, 20, 30 years ago. And so the concern for media organizations and First Amendment experts that watch that space is that negative stories about powerful individuals will result in some sort of repercussions or pushback.
It's also a newer place in terms of media coverage and particularly negative media coverage.
Yeah, I would say that's right. That's what Nick Denton from Gawker told us yesterday, which is Wall Street, Los Angeles, Hollywood are sort of more used to hard-hitting stories about them, whereas in Silicon Valley, he felt that that wasn't the case. And I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Matt Drange, he is staff writer at Forbes. Matt, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Earlier this month, the Journal of Advanced Functional Materials published research about making machine hardware more like human hardware. Xing Wang, professor of material science, headed up the project at Penn State. Wang and his crew mixed together organic stuff, like plastic polymers, with inorganic, boron nitride nanosheets, to be specific. The goal? Making materials that repair themselves. I don't think I got an A in chemistry, but essentially here, hydrogen and natural electrostatic attraction between materials apparently heals kind of like your epidermis. Wang uses another analogy.
Like a gum. If you chew a gum, if you cut it, the gum can still be one unit after you put them together.
Real-world applications. Wang thinks someday your buddy who dropped their phone and cracked their screen might not have to go to the repair shop to see your texts again. Pretty cool. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.